And the beautiful thing about these synthesizers and what they're really trying to teach us is how to make all of the sounds of an orchestra and all of the sounds of space and the universe and different insects. And we've been having challenges like, you know, can we make the sound of a duck, or can we make the sound of a siren, and or can we make the sound of a low rumble of a diesel truck?
Brennan plans to snag some synth time for the club when Maddie comes back to visit her family in Smithers. But Synth Club will move ahead after this two-day crash course with the mentors that will practice over the summer and then become the teachers themselves.
Right now, I've just heard from lots of the parents, and they seem to be pretty excited, and their kids are pretty excited. It's pretty empowering to have a tiny little machine in front of you, and you can make any sound and be creative immediately, and they're very alluring synthesizers.
So then, I guess after this synth school, like this first kind of iteration of synth school, everything moves to Talca Elementary, people can rent them out. Like, how will people kind of keep being able to play with these and learn from them?
Yeah, so the mentors will be able to take home these Yamaha synths to their houses for the duration of the summer. And then in September we'll meet again, and the idea is one or two Wednesdays a month we'll invite the whole community out to Talca, you know, in the evenings. I do use lots of the synths in my teaching at Talca Elementary, but we have so many that it's about time that we shared it with the rest of the community and just showed people that they're real instruments. I think there's also a perception that people just press play and then nod their heads, and you know, you could play a reverb pedal and it's equally as technical as playing a cello. It's just about the musicality that you bring to anything in front of you.
Always the teacher, Brennan's ethos is to bring fun and enthusiasm to synthesizers, the same way that the Valley has embraced fiddles and guitars. Decades-long camps and groups have been teaching the next generation, and he thinks that it's time to bring synthesizers into the mix.
The purpose of this is to open people's minds in our community that, you know, synths are real too, and that they're equally as technical, if not more so. You know, it takes a lot of computer brain to figure these things out, and so it's just like anything else, whether you're using your voice or a banjo, it's all the same. And yeah, just kind of opening people's minds and giving them the opportunity to actually press some buttons and to feel it.
What is the age range of these mentors here?
My son is in going into grade four, so he's 9 years old, and then we have a grade 12er as well. So yeah, and if adults want to become mentors, they can too. It's going to be a paid position. You know, the Arts Council has funded it. And yeah, we've gotten other grants for synths to be taken home. So yeah, the whole community is kind of backing it up, which is awesome. You can be 100 years old, or I'd say 5 years old. Five to 100.
Okay, good range. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Maddie J. I think with the synths, there are, it's a creative medium that you can approach from many different angles and from many different ages. It's very creative, and anybody can get a cool sound. You don't really have to know what you're doing or understand why the sound is coming out of it. And if you want to get really in-depth and understand the technical stuff, there's so many ways to do that, and it becomes quite interesting. But you can also just play and jam and have fun with each other.
What was your first synthesizer?
My first synthesizer was a Micro Korg that Robin now has, my older sibling. And that's a really common first synthesizer because it's quite affordable, quite versatile and iconic, used on a lot of different records.
Is there anything different about teaching someone synthesizer or introducing them to synthesizer versus something like the guitar or voice?
I think that most, it's a lot less like technique focused than when you're learning to sing or play guitar or play the violin. You really have to learn how to like hold it. Before you can make any real music, you have to learn how to, you know, get the sound out correctly. But the synth, you can just get right into the creativity parts of things.
This being your hometown, what do you kind of see being the ripple effect of getting young people excited about something like synthesizers, or just the idea of controlling that sound but also being free and jamming?
Well, you saying that kind of takes me back to when I was living here, and there was a huge fiddle community that I grew up in. And even though that's kind of like specific and not necessarily like you wouldn't think that a bunch of kids would get really into playing the violin, but because there's a community around it and because there's other people talking about it, it's just something to connect on. So I think that like the ripple effect of like having a bunch of people sort of invest in a very specific thing, it enriches like the social aspects of a community, and that sort of starts to bring new ideas and new energy into the creative community. And it's just, it's sort of built on the scaffolding of like the concept of this is a synth club, but the amount of different genres that use synths are very vast. So a lot of opportunities to bring in new ideas and new genres.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is probably close to the end of the break here. So I guess let's get back in there.
Okay, let's go play some synths. Yeah.
Do you want to do that real quick?
Yeah, I can show you. Well, yeah, you can play it.
That's it. That's a backbeat.
And I'll put the metronome on, you can play along.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.
Thank you again to Pam Hassan and CICK News in Smithers, BC for that piece on synthesizers and how they can build community, no matter where you are. Thank you again. And we're going to be moving on to another music break, this one from another artist that played at the Catalano Street Festival. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. But before then, this next artist is named Chopping Spree. This song is titled Catch Yourself. Hope you enjoy.
Yourself.
That was Chopping Spree with Catch Yourself, one of the bands that performed at the Catalano Street Party Festival last Saturday in Vancouver. And the Catalano Street Festival is something that I think is just a really, really cool local, completely free, if you'd like it to be, event that is put on by the Business Improvement Association of, I think, the West 4th area of Kitsilano. And the music selected at Kitsilano is done through a submission process, but then those that do submit are then selected through this process by the local record store in that area, Zulu Records, one that has been there for a really long time, used to have their own record label, and they help curate this lineup, which I think is what makes the lineup so strong, is that, you know, it's so intensely locally focused, but everyone performing is really awesome. And you can kind of just walk around and come across someone you've never heard of, and it'll just be so good. There was one group that I saw perform, Beats, Blues, and Bars. They had a mix of rapping with a couple of guitars also, and then some DJing happening, and it just all came together really well. Elise Boulanger, who is a singer-songwriter, who does what I guess she refers to as orchestral pop, saw her perform last year at the National Campus Community Radio Conference in Nanaimo, and it was really, really cool to see her here as well. 64 Funny Cars, a band from the late 1980s in Victoria, they've recently come together to do a reissue of their 1989 album Happy Go Lucky, and it is getting reissued through 604 Records. They have a reissue show, I believe July 25th, at the Fox Cabaret, and I hopefully will be speaking with them very soon, so stay tuned for that, not just on Speak Up, but also on my other show, Analog Archives, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Concrete Vehicles was one of the bands that performed, as well as Chopping Spree, but not just that. There was also, you know, some pretty big groups such as Uncle Strut. Kim Mortal also performed, and that was something that I heard was very, very cool. Unfortunately, I was not able to stay for all of it, but CJSF did have a table there, so if you attended, you may have seen us there promoting. One thing that I feel like I noticed when promoting or tabling for CJSF during the event is people see radio and there is a bit of a, not a bad taste in people's mouths, because I think people still do appreciate radio, but with recent news of recent layoffs that have been happening in recent weeks, I think people see radio and they think, oh, hang in there, guys. And, you know, we are hanging in there. You know, we have a dedicated community of staff and volunteers that make sure that we do hang in there. And we really appreciate all of the support that every single one of you provide every single day, every single time that you tune into CJSF. We, you know, ask for donations during our fund drive, which is in November. But even outside of that, we just really, really appreciate every single person that comes up to us, especially yesterday, or not yesterday, but at Saturday, and said, like, oh, I listen to CJSF, or oh, I used to do a show with CJSF, or even, I have no idea what this is, but this sounds super cool. People like you really, really make what we do possible and make it as rewarding as it is. So thank you. Thank you so much for everyone that turned out, everyone that supports CJSF and everything we do. And thank you to all of the people who volunteer, have volunteered here. I don't think I could ever give enough thank yous, and I probably never will, but many more will be coming within the next following months. So stay tuned for more thank yous, I suppose. Yeah. Catalano Street Fest. It was a great time. There is going to be a lot more similar festivals happening. There's the Pleasant Day Fest happening. Vancouver Folk Fest is happening next week or this weekend. And CJSF will also be there. One band at the Folk Fest that I'm really excited for is Empanadas Ilegales, which is a band that had topped the charts here at CJSF for an extremely significant amount of time. Yeah. It was... So it will be really exciting to see them as well, and hope to see you all out there as well. We're going to be moving on to another news piece, this one coming from Prince George, from our friends at CIFA Radio. This is from their LJI journalist, Ian Gregg. Hope you enjoy this next piece.
.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Today in studio with me is Scott McWalter, Executive Director of Tourism Prince George. Time Out magazine reported the Economist Intelligence Units, or EIU's, Global Livability Index 2026, which ranked the top 10 most livable cities in the world. Prince George got snubbed once again. We're not on the list. Number one is Copenhagen, Denmark. I don't get it. I mean, we must be number 11, most likely, but we're not in, you know, number 10 yet. What do you think Denmark's got that we don't got? I don't get it.
Well, Ian, first of all, thank you very much for having me in the studio today to talk about this imperatively important subject.
Absolutely. And we need to get to the bottom of it.
And we're getting to the bottom of it right now. Hands down, let's face it, Prince George should be number one on this list. We live in a paradise. We live in one gigantic, beautiful forest filled with incredible people, with boundless opportunities to explore and embrace nature, incredible local restaurants, local shops, local businesses. We're sitting here on the most gorgeous campus in North America, UMBC, which literally, as I was heading up UMBC this morning, I thought there is a lake within 600 meters of this campus, Shane Lake.
With excellent fly fishing.
Excellent fly fishing. I think our good friend Jerry from Real North Adventure would agree.
Absolutely. So yeah, Copenhagen, Denmark, they've got bike lanes. They've got a number of social services. We're getting there in the bike lanes department. We're moving along. What is going on in Prince George this summer? What do you think could, you know, elevate us in that list? I think there's a patio trail passport that's happening. What do we got?
You know it. You've done your homework. We have an incredible marketing team at Tourism Prince George, Alina and Riyadh. They've done a great job establishing some really unique ways to evoke individuals, whether they're residents of Prince George or visitors to this fine community of ours, to get out and explore everything that this wonderful city has to offer. So we've got our patio trails, we've got our bites, flights, and sights, and we've also got our local hiking trails where people can actually, it's almost gamified in a way, where people can take part in these passport programs and win great prizes while also enjoying the benefits of getting to explore our amazing local patios, our amazing local hiking trails, and some of our local shops and fine attractions through the Bites, Flights, and Sights program.
Further into this patio world, I love a good patio. It's summertime. Are there any more patios that have popped up in the Prince George area that weren't around last year?
For me, yesterday I actually was at a patio for the first time, and it's at Jack's Coffee Co. Nice. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it's been on my hit list for over a year now, and I finally made it there. It's got this cute little patio, which is great for sitting down, enjoying a book or listening to a podcast, or maybe bringing a date there or bringing the family there. And that's a new patio for me, but it has been around for over a year now. But that's the great thing about Prince George, is just because a patio might not be brand new doesn't mean there haven't been people that haven't explored and leveraged it yet.
There's so much that's around that it can be new to you.
One of my favorite sayings that I ask myself, my favorite questions that I ask myself is, when is the last time you did something for the first time? And I think that if you're a resident or visitor to Prince George, you need to grip on to that mentality and get out there and just try new things. And you'll be pleasantly surprised of the positive ramifications.
Certainly. And I should get back to Time Out Magazine's article on the EIU's Global Livability Index 2026 report. Our neighbors to the south, Vancouver, are on the list of the world's top 10 most livable cities. They're at position number 9. They've been hanging around there for a while. But do you think we could potentially knock them out of that spot? What do we have that Vancouver doesn't have?
When I'm asked questions like that, I always think of life's most valuable non-renewable resource, which is time. And in Prince George, if you're a resident here or a visitor, you're gifted with more time to do the things that you're passionate about, to do the things that you love, where you're not going to be stuck in traffic or a commute for 90 minutes each way on your way to your job. We have that asset working for us. It's time. So you can get out and you can explore beautiful scenery or whatever it is that you're most passionate about before work, after work. For example, we talked about bike lanes, and we are improving. We're getting there. We might not be at Copenhagen's level, but we do have amazing mountain biking too. My friend and I were just out at the Otway Trails last week, and after an hour and a half of riding on these world-class trails, we stopped, we gave each other high fives, said that was rad, and then what happens? We look up in the tree, and there's this big lynx looking down at us, just kind of saying, hey, what are these guys with the funny helmets up to? And that's Prince George for you to a T.
Number 9 on the list, they just don't have it. Prince George has got that. And another thing we've got, you mentioned our bike lanes are developing. In terms of accessibility, we're also developing. Prince George is kind of a burgeoning place. We don't have it all yet, necessarily, but we're kind of on the way. There's been an accessibility program that's fired up just recently. Started in June, it was announced. Can you tell me a little bit about the collaboration with the City of Prince George and Spinal Cord Injury BC and some of the accessibility stuff going on?
Of course. It's a very exciting project. And our Director of Business and Destination Development, Christina Watts, she has been spearheading this initiative and partnership, where it's a great opportunity for local businesses at no cost, where they actually receive a grant and free consultation from our friends at Spinal Cord BC, where Nancy, who runs the show there, can come in, do a free consultation, a free evaluation, look at areas where there could be potential improvement, also identify different areas where they're doing well. And this is at a cost of $0 for the consultation. And this is in addition to the great work that's already been done, where if you were to go on the Tourism Prince George website, we have a 360-degree accessibility tour where we've got a lot of local businesses that have signed up, where individuals that might be visiting Prince George for the first time or residents, they can go on these tours ahead of visiting a business just to see what the accessibility looks like.
Businesses can sign up and have a walkthrough and probably learn a lot in the process. Hey?
You're right, Ian. That's part of the process, is the educational component, which is actually probably the most important piece.
Businesses are approaching change with an open mind. There's an opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. And one of my heroes is Rick Hansen, and I've always admired what he did with the Man in Motion World Tour, where he spent 2.5 years of his life in his mid-20s in his wheelchair, where he was cruising around the world to raise awareness for accessibility and raised $26 million. And he cycled over 80,000 kilometers. And I look at that as a remarkable achievement. But then what he did subsequent to it with the creation of the Rick Hansen Foundation, and he's really raised the bar in terms of accessibility, not just in British Columbia, not just in Canada, but internationally. And that's incredibly remarkable.
The inspiration that we're getting out of, you know, other Canadians and other people that travel through our community is really cool too. And our role as a hub kind of gives us that opportunity as well. FYI, dear audience, both Rick Hansen and Terry Fox were here in Prince George in 1979. They played basketball together. Things on a national event passed through. There was a fellow who was running and drumming a few years ago. It was Lyle and Errol Pova, raising money for children's charities. He stopped by the studio. The guy was amazing. It's like, what inspires you to do it? I just wanted to do something good. It's incredible.
People are rad, and there's no shortage of absolutely outstanding people in Prince George. And anybody that spent time here, whether it's as a visitor or a long-term or short-term resident, you will be blessed with meeting some of the most friendly, incredible people in the world. And really, that's one of our number one assets as a community. And it could be the long, punishing winters that we sometime have to go through, but that's what kind
of may have knocked us down on the top 10 list a little bit. Yeah,
I think it actually should accentuate our ranking, because there's so many terrific things to do throughout the wintertime. And whether it's fat biking the trails out at the Greenway, or whether it's going to the world-class Caledonia Nordic Ski Center and doing some cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, or whether it's maybe ice fishing at Ferguson Lake, or maybe you want to take advantage of some entertainment and watch the Cougars or the Spruce Kings. We have so much to do during winter. And I really feel like the people that fall in love with Prince George are the ones that embrace all four seasons.
You know what? You're probably right about that, Scott. Copenhagen, Denmark is not necessarily warm all year round. If they can get up to number one on the list, so can we. Yeah, we'll get it next time around. And probably what's going to help our case out is some of the great events we've got going on this summer. Are there any events that you're excited about coming at us for this summer season?
We have a ton of events that are coming up this summer. And
impossible to name them all, I'm sure.
Let's do it. These are the kind of events that would make our friends in Copenhagen blush. We've got a sport tourism that is very hot in Prince George right now. We've got the Indigenous Fast Pitch Tournament coming up. There's 80 teams. There's going to be over 1,100 athletes. It's going to add probably around $7 million to the visitor economy. So our shops, our restaurants, our hotels are going to be bustling and busy. We've also got Foodie Fridays that are happening every Friday at Canada Game Plaza. The next one's tomorrow. We've got 5 outstanding food trucks and my favorite, Joel's Cookies. I don't know if you've had one, but you could probably hammer about 3 or 4 of them. They're so delicious. We've also got the FIFA watch party coming up. That's on July 19th. It's a Sunday, and it's going to be probably around 1,000-plus people down at Canada Games Plaza. We've got large projection screens. We've got an elevated stage for some of our local music artists and performers that are going to come down and entertain the crowd throughout the day. Of course, we've got the final World Cup game, and then we're bringing in a drone show. We've got tons of drones that are coming in from Vancouver, and it's going to be a synchronized, I think, 30-35 minute show, and it's really going to entertain the heck out of this community.
And you're not talking about bored employees as drones. These are like flying machine drones, is that right?
Yeah, maybe it's a combination of the two, like the spectators and the actual drones in there.
Fantastic. Great. And I should note, too, dear audience who can't see us in the studio, Scott listed all that off the top of his head. He was not referring to a list that was written down. He's just got it all in there. Thanks so much for coming up and exploring the possibilities why Prince George could be higher on that Time Out magazine top 10 list of most livable cities in the world.
I really appreciate you having me in the studio today, Ian. And I also want to thank you for all the great work that you do in the studio, because I know a large segment of your audience is UMBC students, staff, and professors. And these are the individuals that are really mobile marketing machines for Prince George. We want them to embrace the full PG experience so that they're telling family, friends, relatives that might not be in Prince George how great this community is. And we want the world to visit. So this is an open invitation to anybody that hasn't been to Prince George before. Come out here. We're going to show you a good time. And the most important thing, get to know the people, because they're pretty special.
And
once again, that was Ian Gregg of CIFA Radio in Prince George, BC, explaining why Prince George is so great. We are here in Burnaby, BC, though, and we thought it was a good idea to play that interview just, you know, to shine some light on some communities throughout BC that you may know less about, and now you know a little bit more about. Anyways, this has been Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, Danny Nesvedarani. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for Intravenous with our public affairs and talk coordinator, Nicole Hines, who is going to be talking about talking with Aaron Rosenberg on community building with this project called Orker in Squamish, BC. Thank you so much, and tune in for Democracy Now!